following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. I'm as shocked as you to be on the Doug and Daddy Show today.
I'm glad you are able to pay off your debt to society
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think that's legal to talk about. I'm in the jury duty pool right now, and literally I was excused 5 minutes ago. I made like the, you know, it's kind of, you know what I'm kind of thinking of? It's a lot like my social life. I got the first call, but then no.
I don't want to go there. There's no good in having that conversation whatsoever at all. So, because there's obligations there as well that might fit in with your... Yeah.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this first Monday without football. No Bo Pelini press conference, no Huskers to really talk about. So we will talk Huskers, obviously. Brian Munson of BigRedReportScout.com is going to join us. Nebraska picked up a commit on Friday. The coaches have been busy on the trail. Where are we headed next? I think if you heard Sean Callahan's report this morning from Big Red Report, and if you'd been to any of our Husker lunches, a kid coming out of Canada is the next one that they're looking at, but has now received an offer from Alabama. So when you receive an Alabama offer and you receive a Nebraska offer, we'll see how that all weighs out. But he's going to join us, and coming up in just a couple of minutes, Jeff Sheldon is going to join us from the Omaha World Herald to look back at the Nebraska volleyball season, which came to an end on Saturday night. Not surprisingly, but maybe just in the way it happened. Nebraska really seemed to be playing well in the tournament. They were rolling Wednesday. Yeah. They took out... And if they hadn't dominated the first set Saturday, I would say, you know what? They took out their frustrations on a Washington team that has been a pain in their side and has had some controversial and really heated matches. But they came out and they dominated that first set. And then Oregon just slowly, they turned it around in the second set. And then they took care of things in the third and the fourth. And Nebraska sees their season come to an end. Jeff Sheldon, Omaha World Herald, will join us here in just a couple minutes.
Well, I think a big part of that second game, though, was six errors. And you know, if you cut that in half, you're certainly going to be right there at the end. And if you win the first two games, then you're in pretty good shape from there. So I think those six errors are going to be something that it had to do all over again. They'd love to have that chance and clean that up a little bit.
Coach John Cook saying after the match that his team did make a few errors, but he goes, I thought we prepared well throughout the year, but he talked about why they got beaten this match, or one of the key reasons, and he said it was on the other side of the net.
I think Bergsma is, you know, she might be the best player we played against all year. I'm very impressed by her, and again, they did a great job, and on the road in Omaha in a big crowd, so just all the credit to Oregon and Coach Moore and his staff.
Coach Cook kind of went on to say that he thought he got about as much as he could out of this year's team.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting statement,
I really
too.
Believe we maxed out this group. Probably got about as much out of this team as we could. And like I said, we're four or five errors away from being in Louisville right now. And there's not many regrets or second guessing. I'm not going to lose sleep tonight wondering what else we should have done. I told him at the beginning of the NCAA tournament, there are no regrets. We've done everything possible to put this team in a position to be as successful as they can, and I really believe that.
Well, and you kind of got the warm, fuzzy feeling when this was all over. As far as a loss, about as warm and fuzzy you get, because Oregon and Nebraska got all over each other about how great each other one was, and the coaches, and about the only thing that was a little tough for Coach Cook in the postgame press conference was when someone asked about Lauren, and then this is it for coaching his daughter. And, you know, he said, I try not to go there because all of these girls mm-hmm. are basically my daughters. They're all in the same class, and they've all come through together. And the interesting part was, you know, Lauren wasn't obviously initially there committing and going out to UCLA first, but Nebraska comes up just short, and Coach talked about the parity, and we're going to talk with Jeff Sheldon from the Omaha World Herald about all that's going on. Two teams from the Big Ten are in the Final Four, one of those being the most surprised team, Michigan. They will play Texas. Penn State will be taking on Oregon, making their first Final Four appearance. Jeff Sheldon making his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Jeff, thanks for the time, and good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was hoping we could talk under better circumstances where a trip to Louisville was in the works here, but this was a Nebraska volleyball team that, I guess, just give me your thoughts here at the end, and we'll kind of go back over the season. But you were there. You watched it. You heard the comments. You saw how things unfolded on Saturday. Were you surprised Nebraska couldn't carry over the momentum from Friday, or was Oregon just the better team?
Well, I think Oregon was a better team. I wasn't surprised at all to see Nebraska lose the match. I was a little surprised to see them lose the match after they started out, you know, house on fire. I think they hit something like 680, 690 in game one, which is almost unheard of. Oregon just couldn't do a thing to stop them in game one. And then, as it happens in volleyball so often during that changeover between games one and two, the momentum just switched. Oregon calmed down and started playing their game, and Oregon's probably the best offensive team in the country, maybe only up there with Penn State in terms of teams Nebraska has played that has an offense just like that. So, you know, once Oregon settled down and started playing their game, I think it was pretty clear who the better team was. But I thought Nebraska, you know, acquitted themselves pretty well and showed up. They just, you know, couldn't sustain the momentum that they had in game one.
Jeff, there was a lot of talk about the six errors that Nebraska made in game two. Were those errors that occurred because they knew they had the press because Oregon was so good? Was it Oregon kind of forced those errors by their skill, or were those just Nebraska stubbed their toe?
Well, I think Oregon's block showed up a little bit more in game two. I mean, Oregon couldn't stop anything in game one. Every swing Nebraska had was going right down to the floor or off the dig and out of bounds. So I think Oregon just sort of stepped up their defensive game a little bit, and they started getting touches on some balls at the net. So, you know, some of those swings that Nebraska had that were going for kills in game one were getting slowed down, and Oregon could transition them into offense in game two. And I think, you know, as Oregon's defense picked up, Nebraska maybe did start to press a little bit, and someone brought up in the post game that it looked like Nebraska might have been trying to hit the perfect shot instead of just taking a swing at it. And when you try to do that, sometimes, you know, the ball goes out by just a couple inches and the other team gets a point. So I think, you know, Oregon's defense really started to show up starting in game two. And then you look in game four, and Nebraska just couldn't do anything offensively. They hit something like 028, which is, you know, is about as far away from 690 as you can get in volleyball.
Well, and Nebraska actually had the lead there in the fourth set. Oregon just made a heck of a run to finish it off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now in rally scoring, it's all about runs and not necessarily, you know, 6-0 runs or 10-1 runs. And that's what Oregon ended the match on, just ran away from it at the end. But it's who can string together two or three points in a row and who can do that two or three times in a game. What John Cook always says is, you know, we just try to be 2 points better. And it was Oregon that was making those runs. I think it was in game two, Nebraska was up 12-11. Or 11-9, I forget what it was exactly, but Oregon came out and scored three straight points to take the momentum back. And then, you know, Nebraska was up again and midway through game four, and Oregon came out and ran off a couple points. And from that point on, Nebraska just could never get those two or three or four point runs that they'd been able to get earlier in the game, and that ended up turning it around.
Talking with Jeff Shelton, who covers the Husker volleyball team for the Omaha World Herald. Coach Cook said that Bergsma may have been the best player they faced all year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think she's right up there with like Ariel Scott of Penn State, or Nebraska played against Rachel Kidder, the All-American from UCLA. But, I mean, Bergsma was right up there. They just couldn't stop her all game long. Even when Oregon got blown out in game one, Bergsma, I think, still had five or six kills. And you look at her number, she had 23 kills and hit 429, which as an outside hitter is just very, very exceptional. And I think, yeah, Bergsma's the Pac-12 player of the year. John Cook said afterwards if he could vote for the national player of the year, she would get his vote. And so she's definitely probably one of the top two or three players that Nebraska's faced this year, if not the best one outright.
Well, I guess it's time for most Nebraska fans to start thinking about next year. Obviously, the Final Four coming up, but you know, losing Cook and Hubble and Mancuso and Worth, where's this program at, and where's Nebraska going to be next year?
Well, I think they're going to be a pretty young team next year. They return a couple starters. They return Morgan Brookhice, and in the middle, both middle blockers, Haley Tramer and Megan Haggerty, who really had an outstanding freshman season. I think she needs to get just a little bit more consistent. She had an outstanding game one against Oregon and then just sort of disappeared as the match went along. But Nebraska brings in one of, if not the best recruiting classes in the country. They have four players that are ranked among the top 25 players in the country, according to PrepVolleyball.com. Of course, three of those are famous from Papillion La Vista South. They have Kelly Hunter as a setter coming in, who may very well end up being the starting setter as a true freshman next year. The Rolfson twins, Amber and Katie, are high school All-Americans, and one of, if not both of them, might need to step in and start next year. And then you have a middle blocker from North Dakota named Kira Larson, who's very good. She's 6'3", and probably the best overall athlete in the class, has a bunch of North Dakota State track and field records. And then they're bringing in a defensive specialist from California named Justine Wong-Arantes, who's a great beach volleyball player and is really going to help out in the back row. So Nebraska's going to have a very talented young class of freshmen coming in next year, but, I mean, you never really want to rely on freshmen so much. I mean, you saw what happened with Stanford this year. Stanford had the best recruiting class in the country last year, and were playing three or four freshmen throughout the season, and they end up getting upset in a regional final against Michigan. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Nebraska maybe take a little step back next year as they develop some of these younger players and try to bring them in the system. But, I mean, it's Nebraska volleyball, and there's going to be a lot of excitement moving into the Devaney Center next year. They're going to have lots and lots of talent. It's just going to be maybe a little raw and unproven. So, I mean, there's always things to look up to about it when you follow this program, and I think next year is going to be exciting to see as well.
Jeff Shelton, Omaha World Herald, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, recapping the Nebraska volleyball season, which ended in the regional finals, or the Elite Eight, on Saturday night. Jeff, how would you categorize this season for Husker volleyball? When we got started, there were some kids that left in the off season. I think some that just didn't come up because they knew, hey, better kids have showed there, we're going to go otherwise. So there was about three kids that left the program. Team got off to a real hot start. They were ranked number one for a portion of the season. Then they took some lumps in the Big Ten, some great five-set matches all the way back from UCLA to back-to-back nights in the Big Ten Conference. And then they make the Elite Eight. They get over the – they don't get knocked out early, but they fall short of their goal. So just, I guess that was a long summation of where you thought this program went this year.
Well, I kind of agree with what John Cook said after the match. I heard you guys talking about it earlier, that he thinks that they pretty much maxed out the talent they had. And I would agree with him on that. I mean, Nebraska was a pretty good team that fell a little bit short of being a great team. And for a team like that to make it to the Elite Eight, one step short of the Final Four. I'd say they pretty much met expectations. They didn't really exceed expectations, and they certainly didn't fall short of them. But I think it's for the talent they had, it was a very good season for them. You know, they didn't have a player like an Elena Bergsma from Oregon or an Ariel Scott from Penn State that you pretty much need to be an elite team in college volleyball, a national player of the year type candidate. But they had some very, very solid players that really came together as a team. You know, I know last year was very disappointing for them on how they kind of fell apart down the stretch. And those seniors got together, and they didn't let it happen again this year. You know, they're a very close-knit team, I can tell you that. They pretty much all got along on and off the court, and that's what you need in college volleyball. I mean, you're talking about a team full of young women that really needs to, for them to reach their full potential, they need to be a tight-knit group, and I think this team really was. And when they look back on their careers, maybe they're a little disappointed that they never went to a Final Four. But like John Cook said, they won conference titles in both the Big 12 and the Big 10. They had All-American candidates. They had some great moments in the Coliseum, knocking off three number one ranked teams. And I think they should be very proud of the season that they had.
Looking back over the last couple of years in the new conference, and obviously the Big Ten quality volleyball conference, you know, Penn State's been the dominant program probably of the last 10, 12 years or so. Is it harder for Nebraska to get where they want to be in the Big Ten? Is it easier because you can recruit players because you can say you're going to play the Penn States of the world? I mean, obviously the Big Ten and the Big 12 are pretty good volleyball conferences. Has the conference realignment for Nebraska, does it make it easier or harder for Nebraska to get back and into that national prominent role that we've come to expect?
Well, I think it's kind of a couple different things. It's probably easier for Nebraska to maybe make Final Fours and possibly be in the national title conversation because they're tested week in and week out on back-to-back nights in the Big Ten. I mean, you saw a team that Nebraska beat pretty handily in Lincoln, in Michigan, and then extended to five games and almost beat them in Ann Arbor. They knocked off the number one team in the country, and they're going to the Final Four now. And Nebraska's really made some hay in recruiting in Big Ten areas. They've got Hannah Wirth, you know, who obviously came in the Big 12, out of Illinois, but Megan Haggerty was a player they got out of Illinois. Illinois high school volleyball is very good, and I think Nebraska is going to be able to get in there now and maybe get some more players. But going through the Big Ten can really take a lot out of you as well. You know, it's kind of like the SEC in football, where every team you play just comes ready to play every night, and John Cook makes a big deal out of how Nebraska always has a target on their back, so they always get every team's best effort. So if Nebraska, you know, can, I don't know if they're going to win the Big Ten title. They're certainly not going to every year, but that meat grinder of a conference schedule really does prepare them to see teams in the NCAA tournament, and I think it really got them battle-tested for this year. So it's kind of like, you know, if Nebraska football moved to the SEC where they might have access to a bigger talent pool of players, they're going to take their lumps during the regular season. I don't know if you're ever going to see a Nebraska team go 29-1 in the regular season again like we've seen in the last couple of years, but I think in the long run, you know, sort of a rising tide lifts all ships type of theory where Nebraska is really going to get fine-tuned for the NCAA tournament by going through the battles in the Big Ten.
Jeff Sheldon with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the Final Four. Oh, how we miss out on getting a chance to go to the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. But Michigan and Texas has now been scheduled for the first game at 6 o'clock Central and Oregon Penn State at 8 o'clock. You're going to have to sway me on Texas, Jeff. Is Oregon Penn State for the national title?
No, not necessarily. I'm sorry. Say the matchups again. It's Michigan, Texas, and then Oregon and Penn State.
Yeah, in the semifinals, I kind of get the feeling that maybe Oregon and Penn State might be the two best teams left.
You know, they very well might be, but I mean, you look at the numbers that Texas has run up this year, and Texas this year was kind of like some of the old Nebraska teams in the Big 12 where they just steamrolled everyone. And they've got some incredibly talented players. They've got, Bailey Webster and Haley Eckerman. Haley Eckerman's a player that Nebraska really, really wanted bad out of Iowa, and she ended up going to Texas. And it could be that, you know, Texas just hasn't been tested that much, but I mean, they steamrolled a USC team in the Elite Eight that was ranked number one through part of the year and had another win over Stanford. So I think if you end up seeing Texas versus Penn State in the national title match, that might be a matchup of the two most physically talented teams in the country, and that would be a great volleyball match to watch. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw Oregon beat Penn State. It's probably going to come down to how well Oregon can receive Penn State's serves because Penn State is an incredibly tough serving team, and they've got some big players on the front row that can maybe shut down some of that Oregon attack better than Nebraska could.
I guess the thing people are going to notice more than anything else next year for Nebraska's volleyball team is the new venue change. Do you think that's going to help, or is that going to kind of hinder their performances and even their recruiting? Because the Coliseum was a special place to watch a volleyball mm-hmm. game. Do you think this is a step forward, or is it unfortunate that they're giving up the Coliseum?
Well, I think it's a little bit of give and take. I know that John Cook was very protective of the atmosphere in the Coliseum for a long, long time, said that they would not leave it. And I think he wouldn't have signed off on this move if he wasn't convinced by some of the changes that they want to make that it's going to move the program forward. I think recruiting-wise, it will be a step up because, the Coliseum is a special place. But, I mean, all the bells and whistles, if you've seen what they're going to do to the Devaney Center, they're going to be able to add maybe 2,000 to 3,000 more seats, which is very important because I don't know if you've ever been to a Nebraska volleyball match in the Coliseum. It's a packed house, but it's kind of an older crowd, and it's been harder to get. It's been harder to get. There's a nominal student section. They're actually going to have a for real student section in the Devaney Center. They're going to try to get those 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds to sort of build the next generation of the fan base, and they're going to be able to do that in the Devaney Center. But until they get in there and start playing matches, you just don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like compared to the Coliseum. Because I wrote a big story on Farewell to the Coliseum a couple weeks ago, and it's just been the home of some great, great matches. The ghosts in that place just lift Nebraska volleyball to a whole new level sometimes. I mean, I do not think they beat UCLA and Penn State in any other arena in the country this year. Those two big matches that Nebraska won this year where it's so loud you can't even hear yourself think sometimes. And so, it's a little bit of a gamble. But I think overall they feel very good about moving to it. It's going to be the nicest college volleyball arena in the country, most likely. And they're going to be able to get in a couple thousand more fans as well and really grow the next generation of Nebraska volleyball fans.
Well, it comes always, unless you win the national championship, I guess it always comes to a close too quickly. But a great season for Nebraska volleyball, and now new times. First, it was new getting into the Big Ten. Now it's new with the venue next year and some great kids that a lot of Nebraska fans saw grow up and play their high school days in Omaha and throughout the state of Nebraska. So, Jeff, we appreciate the time, and hopefully we can do it again.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care, Jeff Shelton, Omaha World Herald. He is the Nebraska volleyball beat writer as their season came to an end on Saturday night. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Nebraska football. Feel free to email the show, call the show, Facebook the show, however you want to do it, whatever easiest for you to comment on the volleyball or the football program. We're also going to get into the All-State high school teams from over the weekend, UNK, Hastings College, anything that you would like to discuss. The Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The phone number, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and Brian Munson from Big Red Report is coming up next.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Hi, it's the Herd. Fans, the holidays are here, and there's one thing you need to avoid besides the mall parking lot on Christmas Eve. Talk about cutthroat. You want to be sure you don't have a bad gift. So give your friends and family a gift they're guaranteed to love with a gift certificate to StubHub. That way, if your buddy's been wanting to witness an upcoming rivalry or your mom wants to see the big show, you can make that happen for them. Much better than a pair of socks or a handcrafted bird feeder. So head to StubHub today and grab a StubHub gift certificate. StubHub!
Get ready for winter driving at CarQuest Auto Parts. Peak Long Life 50-50 pre-diluted antifreeze and coolant is just $9.99 per gallon after $3 mail-in rebate. Peak Long Life Full Strength antifreeze and coolant is $11.99 after $3 mail-in rebate. Get Castrol Conventional Motor Oil starting at just $4.99 per quart. Nearly one out of every four vehicles needs a new battery. CarQuest offers a complete selection.
See store for details now through January 26th at participating CarQuest Auto Parts locations.
Fall is here, and for guys, that means one thing, football. Each week, nearly 12 million men settle into their favorite recliner to cheer on their favorite team. For men over 30, the inactivity creates lost muscle tone, reduced sex drive, and excess belly fat. This year, don't get sacked by the football season. Change your game plan with the help of Complete Nutrition's strongest, most potent youth energy and weight loss enhancer, the Charger Pack. With its new testosterone-infused formula, the Charger Pack delivers men over 30 the fastest, most undeniable results possible. Regain your muscle, recharge your libido, and sack stubborn belly fat with the Charger Pack, available exclusively from Complete Nutrition.
If you experience excessive weight loss in your first 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Mostly sunny skies early on today. Increasing cloud cover in the afternoon with a high temperature of 36. Winds turning southwest at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, low of 16. Right now, 21.
Baby, it's cold outside.
You watching Elf this weekend? Huh?
No, but it's cold.
Oh my goodness!
Hey, I did watch Christmas Vacation at the World yesterday. That was kind of fun.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. To be honest with you, I've seen every part of that movie, but never all in one sitting before.
Really?
No, never all in one sitting. And I have. If you're looking for any last-minute Christmas ideas for you, I have that whole speech already kind of memorized from over the years because I love that part. But I'd never seen it beginning to end in one sitting. I'd seen the whole movie, but never beginning to end at one time. So it was nice to see it on a big screen.
Can you hear it? It's a funny squeaky sound.
You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. You know what else? I have to be guilty. I'm guilty here. I like watching a lot of Christmas stuff. And I guess, you know what, if I haven't watched it, I didn't get into the Christmas Story where he sticks his tongue with Ralphie and the pink bunny. And then I saw it at the community theater, and I've seen it a bunch of times on TV. It's cool.
Yeah.
Miracle on 34th Street. It was on last night, AMC. It's going to be on the next couple of nights. It's awesome. But so's Frosty, so's Rudolph, so's some of those other.
I like all that stuff. And by the way, I don't know why I'm giving a free plug to The World here, but The World on Christmas Eve is going to have It's a Wonderful Life. They're going to have that, a free showing that night. My family's looking forward to it. We watch that anyway. I think watching it on a big screen, watching it with a large crowd, you know, is going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it could be a very neat new family tradition at our house.
Well, I'll tell you what, they don't have to worry about cold outside and things like that in Texas, because that's what Brian Munson, BigRedReportsGuy.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Merry Christmas, Brian.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Glad to have you on. What's your favorite Christmas show to watch?
I'm a big Christmas Vacation guy. I love the humor, Uncle Eddie, the dog. I mean, there are just so many different parts of that movie that just cracks me up every single time. I can watch it a million times during that, you know, that little 24-hour span or whatever, and I just laugh at every single time that those parts come up.
It's so bizarre to believe how old that movie actually is.
Yeah.
Because Julia Louise Dreyfus, the next-door neighbor gal, before Seinfeld ever took off. So that's how old that movie is.
I think it was after the first year of Seinfeld that they ran. Yeah, before it became the phenomenon.
Let's talk football. Nebraska football team, where we are busy. Brian, obviously, following a lot of the recruiting. Nebraska picks up Antoine Miles last week, a defensive lineman. I guess my first question before we get to specific kids is, what is a game like the Big Ten Championship, and Nebraska fans harp on this, when Nebraska gets beat anymore, they seem to get blown out. That wasn't the case in UCLA, but it was the case in Ohio State and Wisconsin. What do games like that Big Ten Championship do when the coaches are out in homes the very next day?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a talking point, and you have to not spin it, but you have to frame it. And you have to frame the need. You have to frame the importance of that recruit that's there right there that you're in their living room with, and how it can help out with situations like that. I think obviously Nebraska can turn back around, especially when you have this large class and you could turn back around and sell defense, and you can sell, you know, guys that are departing the offense that will be critical, the Ben Cottons, the Kyler Reeds, the Rex Burkheads. You can go back then and you can sell those positions about how they don't promise positions, they don't promise playing time, but they promise opportunity. And they promise the opportunity to guys to come in there, to work hard, to put themselves in a position to potentially play. I talked to Greg Hart last night. Greg Hart's fired up. I mean, this is a guy that's been sold on the idea of going in there and possibly replacing Kyler Reed. And Nebraska said, look, we're not going to promise you that you're going to see the field and take over where Kyler was and what he was doing for us the last 4 years, but you're going to be in a position to do something like that for us, and that's all it takes is just an opportunity. And I think Nebraska can really sell opportunity on this team right now.
Brian, there's been also a lot of discussion about, I don't know how else to phrase it, but Bo Pelini's demeanor. There is the Bo camera that watches him on every play. And
I came
every,
up with that, by the way, Bo.
Yeah, and every little grimace that he has. Is that something that's an issue when the coaches have to go before these recruits, or is every
parents?
Coach like that? And their parents, yeah.
You know, I haven't heard it come up as a negative to where the coaches have to answer for it, or a player mentions that's something that they're kind of concerned about, particularly on national television, and the player comes off the field because they did something wrong, and then the Bo cam is on there, and Bo's giving them the business on the sideline. I have not heard that, but I do know, and this is something that the coaches sell to recruits. They, you know, they come back and they're ultra competitive guys. I mean, they are the guys that are out there that'll, you know, run through that wall with their players, you know, when they're out there doing a game. But they're also, I think also when it speaks to me, at least from like a parenting side, is you do know that there is a dedication to that team, and there's also a dedication on and off the field. And I don't think that in those situations right there that you have to worry a whole lot, because I know that guy's got a bigger picture in mind when he's in the living room. He's talking about shaping a guy. It's more than just the football aspect. He's shaping a life, and he wants to be part of that when it comes to just training that person for the rest of their life beyond the doors of Nebraska.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter on this Monday edition. Antoine Miles is the latest kid to commit. What can you tell us about him?
Antoine Miles is a defensive end recruit. A lot of people have him pegged kind of play that defensive tackle, but in talking to him like this last week when he was talking to Vince Morrow, that they are definitely looking at him to be an outside guy first. About 6'3", between 250, 260, very quick, high-intensity guy. You watch his film, he does play defensive end now. You know, and people will look at the numbers and they'll say, well, this is a 5-flat 40 guy. Well, if you watch his film, it's how quickly he runs that first 10 yards that really sells him. He is off the ball very quickly, has very good hands, and I think also, you know, it really speaks to what Nebraska's trying to do now. I mean, you can go back and you can look and say, hey, look, Nebraska has 5 commitments in the class from the state of Ohio. They only have 1 from Texas. And in fact, this is about as few offers in the state of Texas as I could ever recall. But they're definitely wanting to pick up some steam and some momentum through the Big Ten footprint, and in particular in those metro areas of Chicago and in the state of Ohio, and they want to get in there and really sell Nebraska football and compete for the same guys that a lot of teams, you know, they're playing on the regular schedule, conference schedule now with.
When you take a look at the overall recruiting, to me it's so hard to tell who's going to be that good player, and just kind of the process of how we're going. But Nebraska, it seems to me, is really on a lot of really good quality football players' lists. It seems to me, now it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to sign them, but my perception of looking at it this year is that at least we're in that preliminary discussion with a lot of, you know, more than usual quality players from around the country.
I definitely think that's accurate. I think one of the reasons why that's accurate is because Nebraska has so much space in this recruiting class this year than they did last year. I mean, you know, we were having trouble finding 2 guys or 3 guys to talk about, you know, last year. Now I'm having to call 3 and 4 guys a night because there are that many coaches that are out there doing in-homes, and I'm trying to get a hold of them. But yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And you still start talking about holes at the offensive tackle positions. When you start talking about, you know, wanting to get another guy at running back, another guy at wide receiver, and you're still talking about trying to find a high school defensive tackle, and then you're trying to find some help in the defensive secondary. there are still a lot of positions and a lot of spots to be filled in this class. It's going to be very interesting to see how the next 6 weeks or so shake out.
Brian Munson with us for another couple minutes here. Big Red Report. Looks like Nebraska will be still busy on this recruiting trail between now and the bowl. It sounds like this kid from Canada has been offered by Alabama, really likes Nebraska. What can you tell me about him?
David Neville is a huge man. I mean, 6'8", you know, that you can say enough there. This is the kind of offensive tackle that Nebraska has been looking to get into their class now. You know, so it's probably picking up stare up there from Hastings. I mean, this is they need a couple more of these bookend offensive tackles in these classes. And you start talking about Neville, you start talking about Aaron Cochran, both guys that are 6'7" to 6'8". And these are the kind of guys in Nebraska needs to get out there. Neville is a big mammoth kind of guy that you can put the offensive tackle position. He's still athletic enough to go ahead and put out there and not have to worry about the feet being too slow to handle those elite rushers off the defensive end spot, guys that Nebraska had troubles with, you know, blocking this last year, particularly against like Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State. Neville, of course, did pick up that Alabama offer. I know that he really likes Nebraska, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the late push from Alabama down the stretch here. I think he's planning on making a decision by the week's end here, guys. And this could be an early Christmas gift for Nebraska, because Nebraska, if they miss out on this offensive tackle, it's going to be very difficult to figure out which way they're going to turn after this.
I was just going to ask, what direction do they want to go offensively on the offensive-defensive line? I mean, we've seen the success that Wisconsin's had with that huge mammoth offensive line. Is that a direction that Nebraska is really pointing at going with their line?
I think it's definitely, you know, obviously when you start looking at, like, guys that you've already had in class, like Samuelson and Hannon, and you start talking about 6'4" and 6'5", 300-pound guys are the interior linemen, you know, and then you're starting to try to find those guys that are on the 6'5", to 6'7", to 6'8", side out there on the offensive tackle end. It seems like that's definitely which way they're planning on going. I think they want to get a little bit more physical, a little bit bigger up there up front. I think there's probably going to be no argument for anybody that watched a couple of the games, you know, that where Nebraska was stymied up there by bigger physical defensive lines. I think Nebraska needs that kind of size to be competitive in the Big Ten. So I think that it all makes a lot of sense when you start talking about Nebraska's need and want to go ahead and get a little bit bigger up front.
You might be biased from the state of Texas, Brian, but did the right guy win the Heisman Saturday night?
I thought so. I mean, I think it's weird for me to even say that, considering he's a freshman, and I used to do the Texas Hot 100 list for Super Prep magazine, and I will blush telling you where I had Menzel in my Hot 100 last year. I think it was a surprise, but there's really, when you start talking about that performance against Alabama and watching a guy mature out there on the field underneath the first-year head coach at A&M, and there's not a lot, you know. There aren't more electric players out there in college football right now than Manziel, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see him continue to develop and see if he can still pull off some of those plays like he did against Alabama in the years to come.
Finally, for the fans out there, what happens now between now and the bowl game? Because in January, it's hands-off. February, it's signing day. Just for the rekindling of the recruitment here, what goes on?
Well, I think Nebraska is going to bring in some official visitors this weekend. One guy I talked to last night, Malik Collins, out of Kansas City High School, defensive tackle. He'll be in. He's got Nebraska up on top of his list. I would kind of expect Nebraska to be able to close him here in the week or so to come. You know, so then to get back out there in the practice field, the interesting part about these practices here, obviously, is incorporating the redshirt players into the fold, trying to get those guys, get the whole team together for these bowl practices here. Of course, Gary, for Georgia, and when you get down with Georgia, you come back home, you have four more weeks of official visits, and you get ready for signing day. It's going to be a busy couple of months. It's an underrated part of the year. When it comes to people looking at the calendar and figuring if the college coaches are going to be busy, this is busy work time right here, guys, especially when they're out there on the road traveling every single day, taking maybe multiple flights to get back and forth to see these guys.
Well, we're going to start right now with predictions. Where is Nebraska at going into next year? Final question. With the guys they've got now, not talking about the recruiting kids that are coming in, but the football team, what they've got coming back, where do you see weaknesses, but where do you see Nebraska entering 2013?
Well, I think obviously we got to start back on defense. I don't think that was a particularly strong senior class, but a good senior class on the defensive side of the football. When you start talking about the three defensive ends, Will Compton, Baker Steinkuhler, Damian Stafford, now you're looking to try to replace those guys. And you're looking at guys folding in, you know, at least at middle linebacker, you can bring in guys like Trevor Roach and David Santos. And I think the linebacking core is going to be more athletic but not more experienced. You know, you start talking about Sean Fisher also departing. But defensive tackle and defensive end right now are completely up in the air. All you got really returning is Ankara and Rome. And I think Nebraska needs to get, you know, that they got Randy Gregory coming in at junior college defensive end. They're still looking for some junior college defensive tackles. There's still potentially another junior college hybrid outside linebacker defensive end they're talking to. But I think then also you're looking for a couple of younger guys in the secondary to step up, and you're looking for a big step forward from Ciante Evans. And you're also looking still for Mohamed Cisse to emerge and be that guy that Nebraska thought they were getting last year. Lots of questions on the defensive side of the football, offensive side of the football. Looks like they're going to be very steady, of course. That all hinges around Amir Abdullah taking some big steps forward this last year.
Well, good stuff, Brian. We wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again around bowl time, hopefully.
You betcha. Happy holidays, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Take care. From Big Red Report, Scout.com. Keep up to date with Brian Munson. Like him on Facebook, too, man.
Yeah, it's got all that stuff is out there for him. I think it's going to be interesting to see Nebraska next year. You know, I think there's some big gaps. I always get nervous when you're filling in holes with JUCO players. I always think that your program is not where you want it to be when you're filling in those holes with JUCO players.
That's funny because yesterday somebody was up on me about why don't we just get some JUCO players and take care of this.
Well, there's a reason they went JUCO in the first place. Either academically they couldn't cut it, and then you kind of worry a little bit about whether or not they're still going to be able to maintain that when they're in college, or you know, maybe they grew, maybe they developed. I mean, it can happen that you got
a
player.
Okay to have
how many? But how many All-Americans were JUCO players? And I don't know the answer to that. I have a guess, and I think I'm right, but I'd say it's a very, very low percentage.
888-455-ESPN, or you can email Den Popper Inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We've talked volleyball. We've talked football. We're going to talk a little basketball as well. And, folks, don't forget, during this holiday season, get yourself a present. Freshen up your own home, apartment, or office with furniture or bedding from Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. Since 1977, the focus has been about you, the customer, and they're talking about you specifically. They'll get you what you want, color, size, style, price. They'll take care of you at Bruce Furniture because it's just right for you. For 34 years, they've grown to 4 locations. They compete with the big chains in quantity buying and freight charges. That means the price is great, and they maintain that small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. It's just right for you this holiday season at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance.
This is a 600-ton ore hauler. Miners use it to move 400 tons of earth in extreme conditions. Okay, got it. Now this is your car. You use it to move 180 pounds of you. Okay. And this is Peak Antifreeze. Peak Antifreeze's unique formula helps protect your engine from costly repairs. So you can protect your ride no matter what you drive.
Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win.
Available at Pep Boys.
Uno Dos Tres. 3 albums of new music from Green Day.
Let yourself go.
Rolling Stone says, big hooks, no flab, and a whiff of Dookie. Green Day returns.
Everything that I want
from you. Guitar World says the Uno Dos Tres trilogy is the biggest move of their career, the year's most ambitious music project. Uno Dos Tres, 3 albums of new music from Green Day.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies early on today. Increasing cloud cover in the afternoon with a high temperature of 36. Winds turning southwest at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, low of 16. Right now, 21.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Monday, where for lunch at the Chicken Coop, steak sandwich with choice of side items, $6.99. I want you to know that when you order that steak sandwich, it does come with onions on it. If you like that, I usually get rid of the onions. I get some cheese on it.
Cheese is good.
Oh,
I think I go cheese and onions.
That was what I did last Monday.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what you did last Monday.
That, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's a Chicken Coop, folks. Every Monday night, bull fries and fries, only $5.99 at the Kearney location. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30 Monday through Friday. Whatever your favorite meal is, you can enjoy it from burgers to steak to pizza to just maybe a little appetizer at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Well, Irish Ken has fired in on two different topics here, I guess. Regarding Nebraska volleyball, fact is, with the increase in popularity of college volleyball, it is getting much harder to recruit quality players. Such is the case with this year's team. There has been quite a drop-off in talent level in the last few years at Nebraska. I hope they can turn it around. Really?
They were
number one in the country, right?
For a little while there.
They beat Penn State, right?
They beat Penn State.
UCLA.
And they were leading in a game that would have sent them to the Final Four. They won the first of the four games there, and they got nipped in that second game. If they win that one, it might be an entirely different deal. They're not that far off. I think Irish Ken's right. I think the popularity of volleyball does make it harder. But I think one of the reasons why it's popular is because you see a quality team like Nebraska was in 2000 and in 95 and in 2006. You know, it is an exciting way to watch female athletes perform. I think that volleyball, more than any other sport, shows the athleticism of the young female athlete. I really do. It really shows off their skills and abilities, and it's an exciting sport, and it's very popular here in Nebraska, and it's starting to grow into other states as well, and I think he's right on that. It is harder to recruit quality teams because more programs have developed that mirror what Nebraska's been able to do.
I think there's just as many good Nebraska players. Here's the one thing I will say about Irish Ken's comment here as far as he's worried about the quality of players. I think Nebraska had that one studette this year. You can look at Hannah Worth. Gina Mancuso was probably, and you know, coming in as the prep high school national player of the year, it's hard to believe that she's done. I mean, it's hard to believe that has been that long ago.
Yeah.
And so maybe they didn't have the first team All-American. I'm not sure that they will have.
Well, they didn't get that Christina Hoteling that wasn't necessarily as recruited at hard by other people that developed into that player of the year type of player. But you can't say they weren't recruiting the right kind of people. They had the high school volleyball player of the year that signed.
Yeah, and we'll see how it all plays out. I think Nebraska will be just fine. Coach Cook does a great job with those ladies, and I think a pretty good job of recruiting. And it's not bad when some of the best are right there in your backyard, like the Rolfson twins. Irish Ken also goes a different way here. Of course, he's not only an Irish fan, but he follows Kearney Catholic. So every town, every community has multiple people that feel the same way Irish Ken does about his high school team that you feel about your high school team. This is just the case here. He goes, I've got to raise some hell today. Whoa. His team's playing. The Irish are playing for the national championship, Ken. Take it back. He goes, I don't believe the schedule is strong enough. He goes, I don't believe they're scheduling these weak teams on purpose. I suspect they can't find anyone willing to play them. The same thing that happened to Minden will happen to the Lady Stars in basketball. This crap of pitting top 10 teams against each other in sub-districts has to stop. The point system will get the Stars this year. I don't think so, because I think they might be the... I no. I think they're pretty good.
I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to win enough through the course of the year that won't happen. But there is the potential for that. I do agree that it's awfully tough when that happens. But until you do what Class A and Class B have done, where you serpentine the entire state, then you're going to run the risk of that happening. But again, for basketball, I've always looked at it the same way. You do get to control your own fate. You want to make sure you get to Lincoln, win. And so you do get control of your own fate. You know, back in the early 20s when I was playing football, we were undefeated and could have won our final game and not made the playoffs being a perfect 9-0. I mean, it could very well have happened because you were just in your same district and you didn't play everybody in your district back in the day. Well, that's been fixed. And basketball, that kind of takes care of itself. I do think it'd be interesting to really have a show sometime to really sit down and talk about high school scheduling and how you kind of make it happen, because I think there's a lot of things you got to kind of balance there, because you have a kind of a traditional schedule that you've always had. You only have a few openings where you can actually schedule some good quality teams that are going to help you if you pick up those wins. But Kearney Catholic did not help themselves point-wise probably when they traveled to Cambridge this last week, but I don't know if they had any better options in terms of who the girls could play or the guys could play for that matter. But you know, they're both Kearney Catholic's gonna be playing McCook here in a little bit. That'll help the boys team probably.
Well, and here's the deal, you don't know who's gonna be good when you schedule them. And I know what Irish Ken is getting at here. He is specifically looking at this Kearney Catholic girls team that won a state volleyball title. Well, the last three games, their last three opponents are 0-13.
And bad. Cambridge was bad.
And then they've got Elm Creek and Overton after Ravenna that they're scheduling down D1. Well, I know the Overton thing was a boys' deal, and you just look, but later they play Hastings St. Cecilia, Seward, who just had their 104-game winning streak snapped, Pierce, Seward and Pierce on back-to-back nights. In fact, all three of those games are within 1 week. Yes, you'd like to be able to pick and choose and spread things out. They also played the defending state champions in Sandy Creek. So I think you can look at anybody's high school schedule. And if you're very good, it's hard to play great competition all the time. And if you're very bad, it's hard to play competitive competition all the time. Anywhere in between, you're going to have stretches of playing somebody better than you and somebody not as good as you. And it's up to you to just make your team better.
And again, I think there's a lot of difficulty in terms of being able to make the perfect schedule. Because again, people have already had commitments. You don't know. You make commitments 2 and 3 years in advance. You might have a kid move in, might have a kid not go out for ball that you think might be pretty good. You know, and you may not end up scheduling what you thought you scheduled, and it's somewhat unavoidable. And I think it would be unfortunate. It is unfortunate with those teams that maybe don't get enough wild card points. They have a real great record, but they don't get enough wild card points because their competition wasn't very good. And that is unfortunate. But what always fixes it is you do get to play them in districts and in sub districts on a neutral court somewhere, and you have your own fate in your own hands.
When did Kearney become such a volleyball town? By the way,
Kearney Catholic's always been kind of solid, and Kearney High's been kind of,
Well, I bring that up because you know why? For the first time in my memory, which does
go back
from time to time, Omaha World Herald, Super State teams are out in volleyball and football from the end of the season. Four young ladies that played in Kearney are Super State, not just Class A or Class C1, Super State. And that includes the first one ever from Kearney Catholic on the first team Super State, which admittedly, Randy, there's only room for about three girls. Olivia Bedner, who's going to Nebraska, this is the first time I ever saw this happen, from Waverly. She's actually not on the first team. Somebody that's going to Nebraska, not on the first team. She's on the second team, probably because Kearney Catholic beat them earlier this year twice. And Michaela Mestel of Kearney Catholic is a first team All-Stater. And then you got Alyssa Frondorfer of Humphrey, who got in there. And when you consider Papillion La Vista South is going to dominate that first team, there's only room for about three more girls.
Yeah, and very, very strong. You know, and Kearney High has not been real strong as a team, but they produced some pretty good volleyball players here and there over the past 10 years
or
so.
And Katie Higgins is second team Super State, and then Kearney Catholic's Bailey Sokolowski and Morgan Studi were put on Super State third team, which is all classes. Then you get to the individuals. Higgins is right there in Class A. In Class B, Katie Plocky of Grand Island Northwest and Taylor Teal of Aurora. In C1, Kearney Catholic had Mestel, Sokolowski, Studi, and Shayla Connor named first team. Michaela Shaw of Sandy Creek also on the first team. Class C2 first team, Morgan Nicola of St. Cecilia. And then Abby Priestler of Giltner was first team in Class D2. So congratulations to all those young ladies. In football, Luke McNitt of Kearney High named a first-team All-Stater as a linebacker.
And a lot of fun to watch him. Just he's all go, and he's he represents Kearney High very, very well. An excellent football player. Good kid, too.
As far as the All-State second team, Kearney's Jackson Gannon, Adams Central's Jake Fowler, Grand Island's Chase Reese, and Jake Finley of Giltner are all-class All-State second team.
And one of my favorite memories, and it's also an unfortunate memory, but Jackson Gannon, when they lost to Omaha Central and got eliminated from the playoffs, did not want to leave the football field. I mean, he didn't say anything. I can't believe it's over. He didn't want to give it up. And that shows a little bit of how hard he plays as well. He didn't want to give up anything. And Fowler, when I watched him play this year, he reminded me of a stream of water. I mean, he just flows over the top of you, or he'll find that little crevice to kind of creep through. You know, water likes to find the path of least resistance. You'd watch Fowler run, and you go, oh, that's a 2-yard gain, and you look out there, it's a 5-yard gain, because as he was going down, he still would be able to slip and get forward a little bit. He didn't necessarily drive anybody back after yards, extra yards of contact, driving the defender backwards, but he always slipped off of him and was always running forward. And you unstack things, he probably gained, you know, an extra 300 yards this year while he was going down. And to me, that's a very good compliment for him.
Speaking of going down, and to change subjects, Manny Pacquiao went down, and he went down hard Saturday night. That Marquez-Pacquiao deal is boxing that is better than MMA. Now, okay, easy UFC person. Yeah. I'm not saying the sport is. I get where things are going here. But this is keeping boxing on the front page, or at least on the back page where you look for boxing.
Or at least there's something going on. Boy, yeah. They fought each other a lot. I mean, they're getting close to being sparring partners, aren't they?
Oh, what a shot to knock out Pacquiao. Folks, our poll question, what is your reaction to Marquez knocking out Pacquiao in the sixth round? Surprised? Not surprised. I'm surprised, and probably surprised by the way it looked, because it was not pretty. So I'll say surprised.
I think I would go with that as well. I thought it'd go the distance, and yeah, I don't know. It's been a great rivalry between those two.
You can vote on our poll question every day at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club. You pick up points. You accumulate those points. You can even get more entries for our Cunningham Super Bowl party and the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance. All you have to do is visit our website, pick up the points, and one of those or both could be yours. Over the weekend, what do you think of the nickname Pelicans for the New Orleans NBA team? 44% of you hated it.
not dislike, but hate.
And okay. In apathy, 28% had no strong opinion.
I don't have a real strong opinion. It's not a real strong mascot. Again, they should be the Jazz, because that's what makes the most sense. They could be the Cajuns. That would make some sense as well. And Pelicans, because that bird is there, would make sense, but it's not a strong mascot.
One final national note before we go into our last break. Heisman Trophy, I said Friday. How I voted, I expected it to be that way. It was that way. Johnny Manziel first, Monte Teo second, and Colin Klein third. The more they got closer to that, the worse I felt for Colin Klein, because I really thought he got overshadowed and probably... But again, so he's one of the three best football players in the country.
He was both overshadowed and built up because of his team's performance. I think we put too much of the quarterback thing on how their team does. And when they were undefeated and they were rated number one for a week there, it was like, yep, this guy's going to win the Heisman. He's the quarterback of the number one team in the country. And then you lose it all because you lost to Baylor. Yeah, but the only reason I think he was going to get it was because they were number one. And we're going to play for the national championship, because I really thought Manziel had better numbers. So that loss that they had to Baylor, I think, righted the ship in terms of who the right person got the Heisman this year, I think. And again, I agree with some of the national media that says it's just the best quarterback of the year. And it's evolved to that over the last 10 years. But remember, that was like a 17-year span there that it was all running backs.
Things I love about the Heisman: Johnny Rogers is always right behind
the winner. Yep.
He's right behind the winner. And then Mike Rozier always shows up as very dapperly dressed. I don't know. He's been the guy wearing the hat or the fedora the last few years. He's got a hat on again this year. And I don't know, would you call that drapes that he's wearing for a suit? It's kind of a gold tan. I mean, it looks cool.
He doesn't blend. You could find him very quickly.
Rozier is awesome, and Crouch wore something more than a polo shirt. We'll take a break. Be back to wrap it up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
Hi, it's the Herd. Hey, Christmas is almost here. Now is the perfect time to send family and friends a gift that's going to brighten up their home with the spirit of the holiday. It's the traditional Christmas centerpiece from 1-800-Flowers.com makes every holiday table festive. It's hand-arranged by a local florist, and it's filled with roses, fresh lilies, carnations, and fresh Christmas greens, accented with a beautiful candle. I've got it. Absolutely beautiful. Perfect way to say happy holidays, brightens up the room. For a limited time, 1-800-Flowers.com has a special offer for my listeners. Order the traditional Christmas centerpiece, and you also get a free upgrade to a larger centerpiece. Okay, that's more flowers for free, starting at just $29.99. Plus, it's available for same-day delivery. Don't wait. Order it now. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name.
Monday, it's a battle of first-place teams when Tom Brady and the New England Patriots take on Matt Schaub and the Houston Texans. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Dial Global Radio Sports. Join Boomer Esiason and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in Foxborough for all the action. Two great offenses square off in what might be a preview of the AFC Championship game. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Texans-Patriots, Monday night on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Mostly sunny skies early on today. Increasing cloud cover in the afternoon with a high temperature of 36. Winds turning southwest at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, low of 16. Right now, 21.
Doug and Daddy's show back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, located South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Don't forget that on their Facebook page, they're going to be giving away 6 tickets to their suite for the Storm hockey game this Saturday night. It's Midway night. It's ugly sweater night. It's awesome. Why not be a part of it? Go to their Facebook page and get a chance to win 6 tickets to the suite. They'll draw that out on a Thursday. And if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, there are a few new 2012 Ram diesels on the lot, over $9,000 off select 2012. And you can also check out their 2013 Chevy Equinoxes on the Chevy Buick Cadillac lot, over $1,700 off. Check them out online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, a better way. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Kansas City Royals make a major baseball trade. They get rid of their top prospect in Will Myers to bring in what's supposed to be a good pitcher in James Shields.
Supposed to be a good pitcher. The guy has a 3.15 ERA. He had 6 shutouts last year, tied for the best in the league, second in terms of earned innings pitch. He was third in strikeouts. He was an all-star pitcher. If somebody told me, hey, the Royals just signed an all-star pitcher, wouldn't you be pretty excited?
I would make sure and sell my James Shields baseball card right now so I could get some value for it, because you know what happens when you come to Kansas City.
And again, Shields, tremendous minor league ball player, and maybe he's the next Josh Hamilton, and then maybe he's the next, Billy Bates? I mean, there's a lot of guys that have had this kind of resume who did not pan out. So here you're taking your bets. A proven starter in the bigs for the potential of a young man who's done really, really, really well in minor league baseball. We're going to find out in the next couple of years whether or not this was a good trade, but right now I don't think anybody really honestly can know who won this one.
It is finals week, so basically there's going to be no competition till the weekend for the state's basketball teams. UNK was swept by Northwest Missouri State Saturday. The men are back in action next Monday and Tuesday, going to Doan and hosting Hastings College. The women are going to have an exhibition game against an alumni team this Saturday afternoon. The team's next regular season game isn't until December 30th, and we talked with Coach Chaney on our Loper Link earlier this season about, I'll just say it, how terrible that scheduling is.
Yeah, they're scheduled. Yeah, it is really bad for them. And you know, for the UNK men, they had a stretch there where they played 5 games in 7 days or something like that. And then they still have some gaps in there. Yeah. Again, I think scheduling isn't as easy as what people make it sound like it should be.
I guess you'll have to explain that to me.
Again, you make commitments years in advance, and pretty soon you start running out of players.
No, not at this level.
Well, not in basketball.
Not at this level. Not at this level. Not at this level. Hastings College is going to Northwestern this Saturday after splitting with Briarcliff. The men pick up their 11th win of the season. The women fall to the 5th-ranked Briarcliff Ball Club, 82-69. Tri-City Storm split their games over the weekend. They will be hosting Friday and Saturday against Waterloo. We touched on it just a moment. A lot of people like to see the dynasties go down, but you also have to say congratulations to Seward. I don't care how or what, to win 104 in a row is something. And I know they're crushed because they were so close to getting the all-time state record.
Yeah, they're only, 4 away? If they would have won that one, they would have had to win 3 or 4 more. And I don't know what their schedule looks like. Maybe they're playing,
They still got Beatrice, I think, this month.
Yeah, so they may not have gotten there anyway. But, boy, you can see it. And that's kind of unfortunate. But that's what makes records like that so noteworthy. Somebody's trying to beat you every night. And if they're good enough to do it, then that's why you don't get a win 114 games in a row very often.
Yep, tomorrow we'll get into more basketball. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we should have touched on today, but the music has sounded, so we will wrap things up. Damon Day will be in as my co-host tomorrow. I know the comments out there. I've known about it for a month, what's been going on with the field turf and the devastation up there at Memorial Field. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter who it is, but then when you find out who's involved, it makes it worse. And I guess if you want to touch on that tomorrow, folks, we can do that as well. But we'll have more special guests, and we want to thank Brian Munson of Big Red Report for joining us today to talk Nebraska football. Jeff Sheldon of the Omaha World talking Nebraska volleyball as their season comes to an end. Randy, thanks for the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Monday Night Football should be a great one tonight. Houston, New England, right here on ESPN.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.